Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
He has a scorecard right now. It's called the Dow Jones. And every day now, the Dow keeps going down.
Because then it's not so scary to watch the Dow. Maybe. It is scary to watch the Dow.
The Dow has taken on a life of its own. It's up. It's down. It's tanked.
The Dow is falling. The Dow is falling.
And with that, let's see, what is the Dow doing? Well, it's falling about 40 points, not much. Good news today, however, from our friend Anner von Banerjee, the recession expert who's been coming on with us every Thursday this month to explain economic indicators other than the Dow. The homepage of ECRI, that's Banerjee's Economic Cycle Research Institute, ECRI, the homepage says this today: the end of this recession, the most severe downturn since World War II, is finally in sight. This is the clear message, it says, from ECRI's array of leading indexes of the U.S. economy. So let's find out more. Hi, Anner von, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
End of this recession and clearly in sight are two phrases we haven't been seeing together very much. Tell us why you see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Essentially, what's happening is the vicious cycle that is the recession is going to turn virtuous, and it has to do in part with pent-up demand as well as the stimulus. All of this together is conspiring to turn our long leading indexes of the economy up. What that means is that they are precursors of recessions and recoveries, which turn up before the Dow Jones does, for example. And once it's been going up for 4 or 5 months in a pronounced, pervasive, and persistent way, this is what we watch, that is a clear indication of recovery ahead.
And one of your indicators, and I don't want to get too technical here, but is what you call the U.S. long leading index, U.S. LLI, long leading index, which has the longest average lead times of any U.S. leading index. What kinds of things do you look for as these longer term indicators?
Well, there's a whole variety of things in there, all of which have to do with the drivers of the business cycle, the drivers of recession and recovery, ranging from labor market indicators and profits to things like those bond market indicators, confidence. There are all sorts of measures in there which are drivers, fundamental drivers of the business cycle. But the more important thing there is not so much what's in there, but the fact that when you have a concerted move in those indicators, rather than, one or two things just jumping, that concerted move, the diffusion among these indicators,
the concentration.
Is what,
so give me one good one. Give our listeners one good one that they may not know.
Good one. This is the key. There is no holy grail. You should never ask for one good indicator. It always will fail, guaranteed.
Okay.
And it's actually the congregation, the summary measure which captures the concerted rise. That is important. It is really that you cannot ask for a tree. You have to look at the forest.
So instead of one, let me ask you about two, which seem to be going in opposite directions, and maybe you can unpack this for us.
Fine.
I was watching a TV news crawl on Tuesday, and I saw two items back to back. Consumer confidence jumps the most in 6 years,
yes,
followed by first quarter housing prices fall the most ever, 19%. Your expertise, I guess, is to figure out how those two make sense together on the same day. Can you do it?
Yes, I can indeed. These are not the same cycle. The home price cycle is not the same as the business cycle or consumer confidence. Remember, home prices have been falling since the end of 2005. The recession didn't begin until 2 years later. So they don't necessarily move in lockstep. Now, as far as consumer confidence is concerned, there are two parts of it. One is people's assessment of current conditions, which went up, but not a whole lot. But what really jumped is people's optimism about the future. And that's one of the things that is that the big jump in optimism is something that does begin to change how people think about recessions.
What's making people optimistic if their housing prices, home values are going down by 20%?
In the case of the specific survey you're talking about, what is a driver is perception about job availability. People are reporting that that jobs are more available and they're less pessimistic about job availability. And when they're talking about jobs hard to get, a fewer percentage of people are talking about jobs harder to get.
That's encouraging but surprising to me because we're still seeing 500,000, 600,000 people a month being added to the jobless rolls. And even the end of the recession, by the definition that people usually use, it means the GDP will start going up. But most people seem to say that the recession could end, but unemployment will still continue to rise.
Well, let's draw some distinctions here. The unemployment rate is something that keeps going up after the recession ends because discouraged workers, come into the labor force becoming more hopeful and beginning to look for jobs. So what that means is the labor force is now filled up much more with people who had been unemployed who are now being counted as unemployed, and that's why the number keeps going up. But employment, actual employment, is not something that really lags overall. In fact, if you look at the non-manufacturing part of the economy, which is more than 90% of employment, then you find that right after the recession ended in 2001, that part of employment started rising. It's the manufacturing part that plunged. It was a tail wagging the dog. Here again, we have a situation where the non-manufacturing employment part of it is actually likely to start going up soon after the recession ends, contrary to the widespread pessimism that you find from practically every economist, and this is what we do. So there is actually good news about jobs. People are not seeing it. Remember, I spoke about what our predecessors in business cycle research had studied in the early 20th century, where after every crisis, there's this giant error of pessimism. And this error pervades the punditry. The pundit class, they're all pessimistic.
And you're not saying a new era of pessimism. You're saying an error.
My accent.
Yes, I understood it, but I'm making sure everybody does. ERROR of
yes,
pessimism.
A giant error of pessimism. And that is what happens after every crisis, which kills the error of optimism, right? And this is the reason there is so much negativity about what could happen. I'm not saying that the problems that are there are all going to be resolved in the next few months. Of course not, but it does not take that to start a recovery. In fact, we have to understand what a recession is. It's not like two down quarters of GDP. It's not a number, it's a process. And what that means is you have a vicious cycle where you have falling in spending, lead to falling production, job cuts, and then falling incomes leading to lower spending. And that vicious cycle has spread from region to region, industry to industry, and indicator to indicator. That is a recession. Now, when that flips and we get a virtuous cycle of rising spending, output, employment, yes, and incomes, that flips, and that is a business cycle recovery. That is what you mean by end of recession.
Anirvan Banerjee, my guest on WNYC, the founder of ECRI, that's the Economic Cycle Research Institute. This is definitely, by far, of the various conversations we've had over some time now, the most optimistic that I've heard you. We're getting a lot of skepticism from our listeners, and we'll take a few of these phone calls at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or you can post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and Michael in Manhattan isn't buying it, are you, Michael?
Not at all, Brian. I listen to your show religiously in the car, and I don't think this guy is tuned into the real world. I mean, I live in Manhattan. I function in Manhattan. I'm a New Yorker through and through, and I know people that have lost jobs in that banking sector, in the finance world, and they're only the fall off from a significant recession. And I think lifestyles are going to have to change. Quality of life is going to change. And to suggest that there are indicators, I don't know where those indicators are. I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, the banks aren't back in business. Everybody is pulling back. There isn't access to money. The commodity markets are softer. I mean, everything. So when he talks about the recession is over and we're in an uptick or we're moving, I don't see it. I don't know it. I don't know what world he's living in.
All right, Michael, thank you. And Anirvan, I could take 3-4 calls like that right now.
Absolutely. And you just heard the giant error of pessimism. That's pervasive. This is the error. And there's also some confusion here. The recession is not over. The recession, as we speak, is still with us. You know, next week you're going to see another 500,000 jobs lost. It's not over yet. Remember, what we are saying is when somebody says, oh, my God, there's a concrete wall, you know, 10 feet from you when you're driving, it matters whether the wall is 10 feet ahead of you or 10 feet behind you.
Okay.
And you're hearing this because people are confusing leading indicators with lagging indicators.
But let me throw another indicator at you and see if you can explain this one away. There was new concern yesterday, and this seems like long-term concern, over the spread between the 2-year Treasury notes and the 10-year ones. And I gather that's a record divide between the two as of right now. This is the Wall Street Journal lead story today. You probably saw it. And it's supposed to indicate that the Obama team may be borrowing so much that inflation is a risk and that the bond market is no longer buying the Fed's attempt to keep interest rates so low for mortgages and other things because there is just too much government debt out there now. Do you think that's a long-term inflation risk and that that would be a long-term economic risk?
You know, there's always a way to spin it. The reality is, the markets have been sensing, including the confidence number you just mentioned, they have been sensing that the underlying economic reality, looking ahead, not looking backward as Michael was, looking ahead, the underlying economic reality is shifting under our feet. And therefore, they're saying, oh, my God, if this recession is going to end, then these yields don't make sense. On the contrary, there might be an inflation risk. This is all of a piece. And this is what does make sense. Now, having said that, if you look at what's really going on and the massive overcapacity and job losses that are still with us, inflation should not be a worry for quite a while. I'm not saying it's not a worry in the long term. It could very well be. But it's too early to come to a judgment on that. But right now, inflation is a non-issue. The bond market is really reacting to shifting perceptions of economic growth, which would boost long-term interest rates. And it's also important to understand, there is a big distinction between, you know, what we are seeing in terms of a cyclical upturn in the economy and longer-term issues. Many of the concerns people have are long-term structural issues. The fact that the consumer is downshifting in terms of consumer behavior, the spending habits, those are things that can be a long-term drag on the economy, which does not necessarily cancel out an end to the recession. And this confusion is very critical because a lot of people don't understand the distinction between a downshift in the long-term trend rate of growth because of the many concerns that people have, and that is a serious and realistic concern, and the fact that the economy does bounce back. The business cycle is not dead. And the business cycle is a cycle. It goes down and it goes up.
But it doesn't go up back into bubble land, which is what was creating so much of the wealth that was around, including housing values and a lot of money that was floating around New York.
Exactly right. And it's important to understand, the end of recession doesn't mean for a moment that we will be anywhere near that bubble land in any kind of foreseeable future. I think there's a misunderstanding of what end of recession means. End of recession does not mean prosperity. End of recession means that the vicious cycle we described is something that switches to a virtuous cycle and we start to dig our way out of the hole.
Mm-hmm.
But we have lost close to 6 million jobs. We'll lose more before the recession is over. And how long will it take us to gain all those jobs back? It'll take years. So it's important. Recession does not equate to bad economic times. Neither does recovery equate to good economic times.
Mm.
A recession is this vicious cycle where the economy keeps shrinking. A recovery is a virtuous cycle where it starts building and increasing in size.
All right. We have one caller who agrees with you, and he is Alonzo in Westchester. Alonzo.
Yeah, I totally agree with the guest, and I think the economy, like everything else, is cyclical. But an overly pessimistic media on this occasion actually made it look a lot worse than it actually is.
Do you blame the media, Anirvan Banerjee?
Well, the media is an amplifier. In some sense, the media is both a victim of the pervasive pessimism that they hear and transmit from the pundits, okay? And because they amplify it, it's also contributes to a self-fulfilling prophecy. But this is just a mechanism. I don't think that's a culprit. I mean, after all, the excesses that we had on Wall Street were real. The collapse of housing and credit, those were real. And you can't blame the media for all of it. But the media does play a role, and it does amplify the pessimism. And let me also say, it is always fashionable to be gloomy. And there's a tendency for media stories to pick up on, you know, more gloomy views, especially views which are tremendously gloomy, almost apocalyptic.
Yes, there's a phrase out there that that I, among others, have used called pessimism porn.
Yes.
Which is that the media just, I mean, besides measuring the things that are obviously very seriously wrong, jumps on and this is terrible and that's terrible and everybody's depressed and nobody's got any hope, and it becomes a kind of pessimism porn, and it's an economic form of sensationalism.
But if you're a decision maker who actually wants to take decisions as a business person,
and we've got 20 seconds left, Anubha.
You need to decide on the basis of objective indicators, forward-looking indicators, and you should not be swayed by sentiment that way.
Well, Anirvan Banerjee, founder of ECRI, the Economic Cycle Research Institute, is one of the world's very respected forecasters. Let's hope he's right with the optimism that he brought to the air today. And Anirvan, thanks so much for coming on with us every Thursday this month to explain indicators other than the Dow. We stand educated.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us.